Every home, every people, every nation has their own peculiar characteristics of kufr. Their jahil will manifest in different ways. It will have some elements that are maybe particularly pronounced in their society, characteristics of the kufr of their society that are more prominent and which more or less define them as a people, as a nation. It doesn't mean that there are not many other dimensions and many other characteristics of their kufr, but generally speaking, we can see that the nations that are mentioned in the Quran, they all had their own distinctive manifestations of kufr that were prevalent and conspicuous and definitive of that people. So the people of Nabi Lut, for example, we know their main way of that their kufr manifested. The people of Nabi Saleh, of Hud, of Nuh, of Ibrahim, and so on. There's always the same, disbelief, the rejection of Tawheed, the defiance of the prophets, and so forth. But each also had their own distinctive cultural and societal characteristics that particularly, like particularly prominent sins and an overall attitude and so on. Now, it has been said, and I can certainly understand why it would be said, that all of these characteristics, all of these sins are gathered in the West and in America specifically, that they combine all of the immorality and the wrongs of every doomed nation that ever passed before. But I think that this is probably the case with every nation anyway. I mean, the arrogance, the perversion, the dishonesty, the decadence, I'm sure all of these things were present in every nation to one degree or another. So I don't think that the West is uniquely sinful or uniquely evil in their kufr, but their sinfulness and their evil and their kufr does have some unique elements, some particularly pronounced and definitive elements, like, say, for example, white supremacy and racism. They took this well beyond normal ethnic chauvinisms and tribalisms and nationalism and what have you. They went way beyond that. This became a defining feature in their societies. It infected their entire history and their entire development, and particularly in the United States. I mean, Europe was bad enough as it was, but Europe's child, America, both exaggerated and honed all of the worst and best elements of European society. America is the, you can say, is the mutant, patricidal prodigy offspring of Europe, and it supersized everything about its forefathers in itself. America whittled European imperialism down to the bone, down to its core elements: greed, white supremacy, and psychopathic violence. They ejected all the trimmings, leaving just the simple circular equation at the center of it all. We're the best, so we can do what we want. And because we can do what we want, we're the best. That's the logic. No further explanation is needed, no justification needed, no reflection. They don't have to understand themselves, and they don't have to understand what they do. Their actions are justified simply by the fact that they can do them. And the fact that they can do them justifies themselves. It's the self-entitlement of ability, which again is just another way of saying uncivilized, immature, morally unsophisticated, undeveloped, and so on. I mean, look at the issue of violence. The West, and again, particularly the United States, is atrociously violent. Violent because they can be. Violent for no good reason, on the micro level and on the macro level. The ease with which they can commit violence is astounding. They have no respect and no regard and no appreciation for the gravity of violence and the consequences of violence. They are violent, but do not understand violence. And again, this has to do with being unevolved, undeveloped, morally, spiritually, psychologically, and intellectually undeveloped. It has to do with being uncivilized. They're not violent because they're brave or tough or what have you. I mean, look, they have this whole culture of glorifying gangsters and cowboys and tough guys, but they have no concept of what tough is in reality. I mean, for all of the Americans, who beat their chest and strut around like gangsters, look, the largest population of refugees in the United States come from places like Somalia and Syria and Iraq. What do you know about being tough? You have no idea. But these refugees aren't violent. They know too much about violence. They know more about violence than any American will ever know. They've been through more than any a so-called American gangster or tough guy or mafioso or gang member or whoever else could ever know. And they're peaceful. They're peaceful not because they don't know how to be violent, or not because they're scared or they're afraid or they're intimidated. I mean, try to intimidate a man who's been through what they've been through. No, they're peaceful, precisely because they know and they understand the gravity of violence. If you don't appreciate the gravity of violence, then you can never appreciate the value of peace. And that's the fundamental reason why the United States has no business ever being involved in any sort of peace process or initiative anywhere in the world. They don't take violence seriously. And so they can't, therefore, take peace seriously. Doesn't mean anything to them. This is diametrically contrary to Islam and the teachings and principles and the culture of Islam. This is what makes it so ironic and so flamboyantly hypocritical when the West accuses Muslims of being violent. We aren't afraid of violence. We're fearless about violence, but we understand the gravity of violence and we dislike it. That's exactly why we're among the least violent people in the world. We believe in consultation and mediation and so on. We try as much as we possibly can to avoid any situation devolving into violence and fighting. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to tell us about ourselves that fighting has been enjoined upon us when it's necessary, although we dislike it. We acknowledge that sometimes it's unavoidable. And in those cases, we will do the needful. But we make every attempt to de-escalate the situation before it becomes necessary. That's the opposite of the Western approach, the American approach. You know, we were told that strength does not mean overpowering your opponent. It means having the ability, to restrain yourself when you're angry. We were told that we're supposed to respond to evil with what's better. We were told that killing one person is equivalent to killing all of humanity. And that saving one person is equivalent to saving all of humanity. We were told the profound importance and the weightiness of violence and of peace and of the value of life. And we have experienced now for decades upon decades from America, from the West, by the Americans, what happens when people who have no regard for the seriousness of violence, the sanctity of peace, and the value of life, when those people run amok. You demonstrated to us what happens when people do not heed the lessons that Islam taught us. You gave us the best example of that because you think that strength does mean overpowering your opponent. You don't think that unjust killing of a person is the same as killing all of humanity. You just call that collateral damage. You don't think that you should respond to evil with what's better. You think that you should respond with disproportionate shock and awe, exponentially worse evil, collective punishment, carpet bombing, and genocide. That's how you respond. We were told that if you only do good to people who do good to you, but then you do wrong to people who do wrong to you, then this means you're not even thinking for yourself. You're letting others dictate your behavior and your conduct. Rather, we were told to do good to those who do good to us and to not do wrong to whoever does wrong to us. Because we have internalized values, integrated values, civilized values, and your behavior does not determine our behavior. Our religion determines our behavior. Now, it seems that some Muslims in the West have been affected by the American and the Western capricious view on violence and their infantile understanding of what strength and power means, to where they think that violence is actually not supposed to be de-escalated. And it's not supposed to be avoided as much as possible. They've been influenced by the childish gangster culture of the United States, the cowboy culture, the shoot 'em up culture of America. And they've become, to one extent or another, estranged from the refined moral approach of Islam towards aggression and violence. And to one extent or another, they have learned Islam actually from people who hate Islam, you know, who mischaracterize Islam as violent, people who think that Islam spread by the sword, and that Islam is a warrior religion, and so on. They've been taught both by Western popular culture, which is flooded with brutality and glorifications of violence, and by Western and Orientalist tropes about jihad and so on. And of course, they're submerged in this culture anyway, this society that is incredibly violent and which doesn't take violence seriously. They're in a society where people express their angst and their disappointment in life and their frustration by spraying bullets into a crowd. Instead of just, journaling about it. They're living in a society where people will shoot you down for a pair of shoes or for a jacket or because they're annoyed at your driving. The whole culture, like I said, the whole popular culture, media, movies, television, music, everything, always presents violence as a solution, as power, and as, in fact, inevitable. And it's the best way to earn respect. That's what they teach. Now, I could go into all of the many reasons why this is the case, from a societal, social engineering point of view, as a means of controlling and marginalizing the population. But the point is, it's fundamentally a lack of civilization, a lack of maturity, a lack of development. And unfortunately, some of our Muslim brothers and sisters are affected by this. I mean, it's kind of unavoidable. If you're a university professor and you get a job as a kindergarten teacher and you spend all day talking with small children, I would expect that you'll end up having a difficult time carrying on an adult conversation after a while. So when you're in the West, when you're in America, I think you will predictably start to see the world in a more simplistic, uncivilized way. And you'll lose your sense about the gravity of violence and the consequences of violence because you're surrounded by people who have no sense of that. So even when you see Muslims behaving like Muslims in accordance with Islamic principles and with Islamic culture and values and civilization, engaging in diplomacy, mediation, negotiation, de-escalation, and so on, you won't actually appreciate it. You won't appreciate the strength and the value of that. Which is at least part of why I think so many Muslims in the West think that the Muslim world isn't doing anything about Gaza, even though they're doing a tremendous amount, but they don't see it. Because on the one hand, of course, they see the violence of the Israelis, being supported, by the way, by the governments, their own Western governments where they live. And on the other hand, they don't see the Arabs and the Muslims responding with violence. They don't see them reacting to the situation the way America and the West trained them to think is the right way to react to a situation like that. I mean, really, the truth is that most of these so-called radicalized jihadi-type Muslims that the West keeps complaining about, they're being radicalized by the West and by Western culture. Western misconceptions of Islam that you spread in your popular media, they aren't being radicalized by Islam itself. You're radicalizing them. You're making them violent because they're learning to be like you and they're learning to think of Islam the way that you think of Islam. So another way of saying radicalized is that they're being Americanized. They're being Westernized. And this all has to do with the psychological decolonization that we keep talking about. Returning to our roots, returning to our proper balanced understanding of Islam that is purged from the toxic influence of the West. And of all the peculiarities of how their particular kufr manifests itself in their society, because there are layer upon layer upon layer of misguidance in the West. And you have to extricate yourself from all of that layer by layer, or else it will smother you.